The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome to another edition of the Brews and the Boys podcast, brought to you by Blogging the Boys, Shui Media, and SB Nation, the Blogging the Boys podcast network. I am your host. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Sizemore. Follow us at Brews and the Boys and at Blogging the Boys. With me, as always, he's the man of the hour, folks. He's too sweet to be sour. He is the Arn Anderson to my Ric Flair and the Walter Matthau to my Jack Lemmon, Mr. Tom Ryle.
Yay!
And you can follow Tom on Twitter at TomRyleBTB. Well, every single time we get off the podcast, things tend to happen. And last week, a couple of days after we put one in the can, Tom, the Cowboys reached an agreement, a big one, with DeMarcus Lawrence.
And it didn't take any time at all. It went from they were having no talks, everything was dead in the water, to around lunchtime. I think it was Ian Rappaport first came out and said, a deal is close. And then there was a lot of people coming and saying, well, no, there's not really a deal close. And about 4 or 5 hours later, bang, the agreement has been reached. They have everything worked out. DeMarcus and his agent were both tweeting, yeah, it's a done deal. And today, at the time, the day we're recording this, ink was put on paper, and DeMarcus Lawrence is now with the Cowboys on a 5-year, $105 million deal with $65 million in guarantees.
And that's the big deal, is that DeMarcus Lawrence did not get as big a life a contract as, you know, Khalil Mack got, but DeMarcus Lawrence does have the highest guarantee amount at $65 million guaranteed. He also got a $25 million signing bonus, and his cap number for the 2019 season is going to be $11.1 million, but his base salary is only $1.5 million. Go ahead.
And one other detail to mention is that $48 million is fully guaranteed. And next season, I think for some reason, 5 days into the NFL year, the rest of the guarantee goes into effect. So it's like most NFL contracts that are like 5-6 years. It's really a 3-year deal with the ability to get out with an acceptable amount of dead money after 3 years. In case something should happen and they should need to go there, which we hope it doesn't happen. I think he's got an excellent chance of seeing the full $105 million on this deal.
I do, too, and I think that it was important for him, but also for the Cowboys. They didn't want to do a 6-year deal. They wanted it to be a 5-year deal, and that's something that they agreed in principle on pretty early. But you look at what the Cowboys have done here, and they've just gotten everything done that they needed to get done so far in the offseason. Now, they do have other guys that they need to think about extending, but DeMarcus Lawrence was the big one. And the way they came to this deal, like you said, it was saying that people on Twitter were saying, well, you know, the deal's not close, it's not imminent. And then boom, 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 it just came, you know, everything started flooding to the front, and the deal was done. And I look at it here and you say,
Well, how did they reach an agreement when just a week ago Stephen Jones was saying about how they were at an impasse? Well, that's because everybody in this conversation, they do like each other. You know, they are on the same team. And you mentioned today that DeMarcus Lawrence, before we got on the air, that DeMarcus Lawrence did a press conference on the DallasCowboys.com. What did he give us the highlights of what he kind of was talking about during that time?
Well, the big thing was somebody asked him about, was he thinking about holding out? And he had a kind of a little backhanded jab at Le'Veon Bell and said, "No, man, I ain't going to miss out on 20 mil for nobody."
Yeah, because his wife might kick his ass if he did that. So
yeah.
I don't think he wants to get in a fight with her.
Yeah, yeah. The key thing about all this is that the reports came out that Stephen Jones and DeMarcus Lawrence got on the phone, I think, Thursday night before they actually worked everything out, and kind of came to a general agreement that they wanted to get this done and sort of meet in the middle. And they kind of reached a point where apparently in DeMarcus's mind, they were there. They were where they could work something out. He was going to get the big guarantee, what's momentarily the biggest guaranteed amount in Dallas Cowboys history. That's probably going to change before too long because of a certain guy named Dak Prescott. But right now he's got, you know, got that, you know, I got the biggest, so he's got the bragging rights, which is really kind of important to these guys to be able to say that in some way they got the best deal ever kind of thing. And so even though he didn't take as much money as he could have, that guarantee is great because, you know, that's enough money to set himself up and, as he said, take care of his kids and grandkids, which is always a consideration for these guys. They're setting up their families with that kind of money. And so the animosity reports seem to have been a little bit overblown, although you really don't know that in the heat of the moment they probably felt bad. But, you know, they got over it pretty quick. And let's face it, when you're talking nine figures in potential earnings, that can soothe a lot of ruffled feathers.
Oh, exactly. And you know, we're getting down to it that when you were talking about, everyone's talking about what DeMarcus Lawrence was going to command, you know, we told them, you know, told all of our listeners way early that Khalil Mack numbers, it's going to be close. And that's exactly what it was. You talk about Khalil Mack's average is $23.5 million per season. Aaron Donald at 22.5 and DeMarcus Lawrence is right there at 21. They are the top three, you know, defensive players in the NFL in terms of contract, the top five rounding out with Von Miller and Trey Flowers with the Lions. There's only three guys getting paid over $20 million per year, and that's Lawrence, Aaron Donald, and Khalil Mack. And you could argue that those are the three best defensive linemen in the NFL.
And the thing is that, in a sense, this wound up being that elusive Cowboys-friendly kind of thing. You know, they got the cap space, of course, which we always knew they were going to do that by moving some of the money down.
Yeah, they saved $9.5 million, I think.
Yeah, that's going to be important because they've got a lot of things they would like to do before we get to the regular season. But the total numbers were a little favorable for the team because they saved a few million that they can use elsewhere. And, you know, they got the five-year deal, which is really how the Cowboys have been trending. I wrote about that recently, that they're getting away from anything longer than 5 years. The one that's probably going to break that trend is going to be Dak Prescott. And quite frankly, quarterbacks are just a different animal, and their contracts reflect that. So,
yeah, and he's a quarterback, so he's going to get paid. We've talked about this before, Tom. Dak Prescott, he's going to get paid based off of the, you know, the type of, like, trajectory of other quarterbacks. That's how it goes in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think if people are not thinking of a figure in that $30 million a year range, they're just, you know, going to wind up, you know, having fits, because I just think it's going to be somewhere in that area. I don't know if it's going to be a little less or maybe a little more. That's just the price of a franchise quarterback. The team believes they have a franchise quarterback. I think Dak's history in his first 3 years in the league show that he's got that capability, that he's coming along, that he is maturing. They've now got more pieces around him that he needs. You know, hopefully they're going to have Travis Frederick back, and the offensive line as a whole is going to be better with Mark Colombo, as I termed it, purging some of the Paul Alexander teachings from the line that it kind of messed it up. So I just think that this is, you know, they're setting up, and this has suddenly become an incredibly successful offseason.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And another thing that I would add to that is that how aggressive the Cowboys have been this offseason. It was, you know, I wrote about it on Blogging the Boys. The aggressiveness, you know, it kind of compares to what we've seen with, you know, with like teams like the Patriots and stuff that we talked about last week, is that you try to be aggressive whenever you can, and you try to spend the least amount of money but still try to grab the best players you possibly can. And it doesn't mean just because you're not going to spend a lot of money does not mean that you're not going to be able to lure those guys, because as we found out, Tom, they were able to lure quite a few guys in free agency. And I think, I don't know how you feel, but I think that it's because they knew where they're picking in the draft. They got, you know, they're happy to have Amari Cooper, but they really wanted to take some risk in free agency because they wanted to add impact.
Yeah. And they have done a lot of 1 year deals. They're doing free agencies as that short term gap filler while they see what they can get in the draft. And, you know, they got a little bit lucky in how players were around and in the right spot for them at prices they wanted. Mm-hmm. The Robert Quinn thing developed kind of unexpectedly. And they pounced on that and now have a great bookend without having to worry about what eventually happens with Randy Gregory or whether Taco Charlton is going to develop. So they've now kind of got that taken care of, which is, you know, really great. If you look at the roster on paper, this makes you think early 90s. That's the kind of talent level they've got all over this roster.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the Cowboys did what everyone's been hoping for them to do for several off seasons now. They grabbed themselves, you know, Robert Quinn as part of, you know, getting DeMarcus Lawrence done as well, because as we mentioned before, just the Robert Quinn signing might not have been as effective, but now you have Robert Quinn on the other side of DeMarcus Lawrence. You got Malik Collins in there, Tyrone Crawford will factor in. Who knows if Taco Charlton will factor in? We'll see what happens. This is the third year. It's very important for him to have somewhat of a type of performance that he can build on. The Cowboys' defensive line is looking pretty strong, Tom. And in fact, I would say it's pretty strong across, you know, the league if you were comparing it.
Yeah, this is just a really solid roster. And what amazes me is that they're, you know, I'm looking at you. You go out. They're looking at right now getting 6 draft picks. I don't see how they can keep more than about half of them on the roster going into the regular season. Now, injuries can always happen, but you know, I did a piece just the other day about the fact that they've already got 3 guys that are kind of on the are guys that are on the bubble in the wide receiver room. And maybe in that defensive line, they've got more guys than they're going to have spaces for that are already under contract. So what are they going to do? And this is, it's going to be very interesting to see how things play out, especially if they go out in the draft and add to those position groups, which I think is very likely.
Yeah, you know, the draft has always been one of the areas that the Cowboys under Jason Garrett and Stephen Jones, this whole regime here, have been very, very good. And I must mention Will McClay as well.
Oh, yes.
They have been so good at drafting that what they did in the free agency period seems to read to me like this is a team that wanted to not just, you know, fill holes in free agency. They wanted to get better in free agency, but they also wanted to put themselves at a position where they can draft as purely as they want to in the next couple of weeks when they head to the NFL draft in Nashville, because they don't really have a glaring need. I mean, they could really pick somebody at any one of the positions. I mean, what would you say if we were going to mention their top positions of needs? What would you try to address for the Cowboys?
I think kind of the big three, just when you look at numbers and who's under contract past 2019, you're probably going to have some combination of safety, cornerback, tight end, wide receiver, and probably can throw defensive line in there. And, you know, you can both, you've got both defensive ends and defensive tackles. Yes. So, you know, that right there kind of covers six positions. They got six draft picks. And that doesn't address running back, which they may. I could see them coming out of the draft without taking a running back, assuming they don't do some kind of a deal that gets them an extra draft pick somewhere. And then just signing themselves an undrafted free agent or two to come in and compete just as depth, because they are obviously planning on Ezekiel Elliott carrying a big load this year.
Yeah, you know, and I've just started playing around with the NFL draft. I've been doing my research all along, but by now, in off seasons past, I would have already had like 17,000 mocks already put out. But I only just got finished with my first one because, you know, it's been a different type of offseason. We've been, you know, mainly focused on what the Cowboys were going to do in-house with some of the moves that they needed to make. But this draft, to me, Tom, seems like they're in a perfect position to kind of just sit and pick. I don't know, unless there's a generational talent just right there available to them earlier, would they need to go up and do something?
Yeah, I think that patience may be the key here. Just let the draft come to them. Now, like you said, there may be that guy they just really need to get that they orchestrate some kind of a trade to move up a few spots, but they really could just let the people come to them this year, and I think still come away with a very respectable haul out of it all, because there's some depth at the positions they need in the draft, which is kind of good. It's not a bad draft for them. You know, it's always good when you go in and you're not trying to find a new starting quarterback. Yeah. So they've got that advantage. But yeah. The draft has, you know, there's wide receiver talent to be taken all over day two and day three. There's a good group of tight ends. There's a good group of defensive linemen. You know, there's safeties, there's corners. I just really kind of think that they don't have to push at all. There's no pressure to make a pick or to reach it at any time in the draft. So,
yeah, we're going to take a quick break. And then we'll be back on the Brews and the Boys podcast. And we are back on the Brews and the Boys podcast. His name is Tom Ryle. You can find him on Twitter at TomRyleBTB. And you can find me at Mr. Sizemore. I am the guy that posts way too many Ric Flair GIFs. You will find that. So we're talking about the draft, and you mentioned running back because the Cowboys don't really have anything. You know, we know it's the Zeke Elliott show, but the Cowboys don't really have much behind him, and they haven't really gone after any of these veteran running backs, so that it most likely tells you that the only running backs they've really looked at are ones that are in the draft. So you're talking about, I know that the Cowboys have, you know, on their 30 visits, for instance, they've met with several running backs. And these are all running backs that are in the later rounds. So you have the only one that they met with that's not in the later rounds was, Darius something. I forget his name. But anyway, he's a second round pick, and I don't think the Cowboys spend that high of a pick on a running back because, as Dave Hellman, our friend over at the Mothership, says, if you need a second round pick to back up Ezekiel Elliott, then you got a problem. So they've looked at Tony Pollard from Memphis. They're looking at Mike Weber out of Ohio State. They're looking at running backs. So how important do you think it is for the Cowboys to find a running back behind Ezekiel Elliott? And what would you be looking for in a running back, just skill set alone?
You want a three down back, a guy that wasn't just limited to first and second down or just in as a change of pace guy. You want durability.
Yeah.
Don't look so much for production, but a guy that was out there every game that didn't get hurt, that could go out and grind. You know, you want a guy that when the team might have been in a position where they just wanted to eat some clock up and get through to the end of the game because they had a lead, a guy that could take the ball on a lot of carries and didn't have a problem with the workload. You might not want to go someone that's got too heavy a workload. So you may be looking at that guy who was not the star running back, but the backup who still got, you know, 600-800 yards on a season, maybe, you know, and maybe even not that much, but who got some games where he did come in, take mop up duty and show that he could handle the workload.
Yeah, and that's why I like the Mike Weber. They're looking at Mike Weber out of Ohio State. He was a backup, Tom, and the best thing about him is his vision. He really knows how to see the hole, hit the hole. He's not necessarily a game breaker type of talent or anything like that, but he just does everything well. You know, he's just pretty good, solid at everything. So that would be kind of something I think you would look for in a running back.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I'm more focused on in the draft, Tom, is a safety. I think the Cowboys need to look at possibly getting themselves a safety because I, you know, what we're hearing is that the safeties in the second round might be that sweet spot for one.
Yeah.
The Cowboys are going to meet with a lot of different safeties. Is there? I know that you and I haven't spent much time on the draft, but do you think safety is the most important position they should look at, or do you have something else that you think the Cowboys really should consider if it's around at the same time that they're picking?
Well, you know, if you were going to threaten me with tying me to a chair and making me watch every second of video ever recorded with a Kardashian in it, I would probably say that safety is the best place for them to go as far as to help the team. The good thing is, I think, that with Xavier Woods, they can go with a free safety or strong safety type. Now, the Cowboys have a tendency to not really box their safeties in too much. Well, that may be a bad term. They don't tend to just use their safeties in a specific defined role. But Woods is flexible enough that he can play to the to counterpoint the strengths of whoever you would bring in.
Yeah. I agree with you there. I really think that the Cowboys, they would, you know, it's like when we go back to the Earl Thomas stuff. They would love what Earl Thomas brings as a playmaker in general, but they don't necessarily feel like they have to have it, and they don't feel like they have to have a free safety. They feel like they could get a strong safety or, you know, I think realistically what they're looking at, Tom, are safeties that are kind of interchangeable because that's kind of what they've been looking for. And that's kind of what's coming out in the draft these days.
Yeah, and I think they're going to look, they're going to want to get someone who's got better coverage skills than being a box safety that's primarily a run stopper.
Yeah.
Because they got George Loka, and he gives them that, you know, I can come in and play the run factor. And so that's why I think they're going to be looking more at the coverage skills for the safeties than the other talents they might have. You know, again, that's my take, but that's kind of how I'd lean with that.
Yeah, me too. I think out of some guys that I don't know how interested the Cowboys are in certain guys, but I really like Darnell Savage, Chauncey Gardner. That's somebody that I would look at. But moving on, kind of strange when we looked at the 30 visits, Tom, the Cowboys were looking at some linebackers.
Yeah. I don't know what the thinking is there other than they're looking at maybe this is Sean Lee's last year.
Yeah.
And they're looking for someone they can bring in that's not a guy that's going to challenge to get a lot of snaps this year, but that could step up to be your top backup to Jalen Smith or Leighton Vander Esch. So, you know, maybe that's where they're thinking. Like I said, this I would love to sit down and kind of pour over the draft board this year.
Yeah, we're going to get some time to do that. We're going to bring Danny Phantom on because we have to. He's the best, and he does a lot of work for us over at Blogging the Boys. It's funny because he was asking me my opinions on certain things, and I had to be straight up with him and say, you are better than me. You're better than me. Don't
hey, everybody, yeah. If you're talking about trying to go out and grind video and figure out who is a fit for the Cowboys – everybody's better than me, so you know, because I just don't have, for various reasons, sitting down and spending a lot of time diving into video doesn't work for me, and I've never developed the skills to read that. So I depend on other people like Dan to do that kind of stuff, and you know, I'll be fascinated to hear what input he might have, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know. I think that I would love to find out when they look at tight ends, because I think there's a good chance we're going to see a tight end taken. Are they looking at guys who catch the ball and get yards after the catch? Are they looking at blockers? Because
well, I've kind of got a – if I could give you a quick rundown, Tom, they've kind of are looking at both. From what I've seen, the highest rated tight end that they've started looking at was Jay Sternberger. And that's
my draft crush.
Yeah, your draft crush. That's more of your I'm not gonna say he's gonna be Gronk or anything, but he's your playmaking tight end. He's a good receiver, fast guy, quick, out of his breaks and stuff. He's going to be the guy that makes a lot of plays. But then, you know, they're looking at other guys too, like Drew Sample. He's mainly a blocking tight end. Now it's not he's out of Washington, but he wasn't asked to do much in his program. So he was not asked to be a, you know, pass target all the time. But it's not that he can't do it. He looked fine when he was asked to do certain things, but it was just very far and few in between. So, yeah, they're kind of looking. Dax Raymond's another guy, I think, that they're looking at from Utah State, and Dawson Knox from Mississippi. Mm-hmm. These tight ends are just kind of all over the place.
Yeah, and that's one of these things where part of it may be that they don't really want to tip where they're planning on going with this, or maybe it's that they're still trying to figure out what they're going to do with Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator. Is he going to create a shift to where the receiving becomes the more important thing for tight ends as opposed to blocking in the run game the way it kind of has been for several years? You know, that's one of those things where, you know, inquiring minds want to know, but it might be a long time before we find out.
Yeah, one of my draft crushes, you mentioned your draft crush in the tight end. One of my draft crushes, though, is Mecole Hardman, and he's on their visit list. He's more of a third-round receiver, but he has, in my mind, has the ability, Tom, to be your next Tyreek Hill. He's like a mixture between, you know, Tyreek Hill and, you know, some of those speedster receivers that we've seen of the past. He's got some amazing game-breaking ability for a guy that's only, you know, done 2 years at receiver. But immediately he could come in and help you on special teams, of course, as a punt returner and stuff. He's very violent runner on punt returns. I like that about him. But I also just like that he has playmaking ability is outstanding.
Yeah, I would say that when they're looking at receivers, if I were setting a priority on what trait you're looking for, first I think they want to get speed guys.
Yeah,
you know, the Cowboys have not traditionally gone with speed guys. I think they're looking for some speed. Then you want that elusiveness, the yards after catch ability, and then you're looking at route running and hands. But I think that the ability to take the top off of a defense is what they're really going to be looking at. And, you know, it's going to be tough to make the team as a wide receiver, pending Allen Hurns' possible return from injury. Cedric Wilson's the same way. You've got Noah Brown, Lance Lenoir, the perennial camp favorite. Those guys are all contending, and of course you've got the three starters are pretty much, set, because you've got Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and Randall Cobb. And then, Tavon Austin is going to be your return guy who gets spot duty in the offense. So now you've got four receivers that are pretty much locked in. That's not a lot of room. And like I said, they've already got four options, that are realistic player people that you could see one or two of them making the team. So they're going to have to get somebody that can really do something, or that they think they can get hidden on the practice squad to develop for a year.
Yeah, and lastly, I'll say that interior of the defensive line is important for them, but it's also one of those positions that, everyone gets on to Rod Marinelli all the time because he says, he can find, your defensive tackles at 7-Elevens and stuff like that. But in this draft, I do believe that if they don't get a defensive tackle with their first pick, they really can wait. Mm-hmm. I think that you're starting to look at, in the third, fourth, and fifth round, you're starting to look at guys that are all very similar. So I think that defensive tackle is important, but not necessarily, they have to go and get one early or they're going to miss out. I really think that they're kind of very comparable.
Let me throw in one last thing, a little wrinkle on the defensive line. I think it was Brian Broaddus who keeps saying he expects them to try Taco Charlton at 3-tech.
Wow.
Yeah, he seems to think that he could kick inside and be more effective. And then because they brought in Kerry Hyder, who's got the potential to be either a tackle or an end. Tyrone Crawford has always had that. So, maybe they go, they could also look at bringing in a more of an edge guy, and then take the people they've got to try to bolster the interior. So they've got some flexibility there. And once again, it might come down to, okay, we're at pick 90 or whatever, and the best player happens to be an edge rusher on
that
our
could
board.
That could be. That could be. Or, what happens if the best player is an offensive lineman?
You're going to probably want to be looking at a swing tackle. And you don't know if they're going to want to keep Lael Collins around, although I think we're going to see a good year from Lael. I think that Mark Colombo is just going to really do him a world of good as his position coach.
I agree with you. Well, that's all the time we got for you guys today on the Brews and the Boys podcast. Please follow him on Twitter at TomRileBTB. Follow me at Mr. Sizemore. And follow us at Brews and the Boys and at Blogging the Boys. We want to thank you guys for joining us for another week. We will be in your ear in about 7 days or thereabouts, and we'll talk more Cowboys as we get closer to the NFL draft. Good night, Cowboys Nation.
Brews and the Boys is produced by Shway Media and hosted by Michael Sizemore and Tom Ryle. For more, visit brewsandtheboys.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.